Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For everything Falcons.
First of the end zone, touchdown!
This is Peachtree Football. Now, your host, Dylan Matthews and Bo Morgan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, and the man, the myth, the legend himself, who has boots on the ground in Seattle, Bo Morgan, and we are Peachtree Football. Make sure you follow the podcast and download the podcast. We're dropping every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so make sure you don't miss a single episode. Follow the podcast and download each and every single one. Bo Morgan, what is this? This is day three for you in Seattle?
Day three in Seattle and day five on the West Coast, I guess I would say, as I arrived early Saturday morning in Los Angeles.
Right.
But yeah, day three. And so far, you know, it's weird because like I told you guys the other day, I'm not really on West Coast time. I'm not really on East Coast time. I'm probably closer to mountain time or something like that, because I woke up this morning, which would be 4 o'clock here in Seattle.
4 a.m.
And in reality, based on my work schedule, it's 7 o'clock,
right?
And so it's just a little bit weird. And I'm trying to stay, like I said, in between kind of everything. It's just a little bit of a weird, weird thing for what, you know, my body is a little bit off. But yeah, man, it's been great so far. Obviously, we're going to get into some of the things that I've been able to take apart in with the team. Monday, right, after I got off, after we did this, obviously I did Dukes and Bell, and then I checked out, you know, Arthur Smith's press conference, and which was live here in the hotel. And then also was able to take in a few players, you know, talk to Troy Anderson, Dave Archer, and myself got to catch up with Troy Anderson after big Sunday that he had. And Arch talked to AJ Terrell. I was kind of a part of that. I wasn't really talking to him and asking anything, but I was there, so I was a part of it. You know, a lot of times I just take back and listen. But yeah, it's been good so far. I mean, it's different. Not the first time I've stayed with the team on a trip. I got to stay with them for the Super Bowl, which we don't really talk about on this podcast overly, the ending, but that week in Houston, I traveled with the team, and that was a full week. That's 8 days, technically, that we were there. Yeah. So nothing, not something that's foreign to me, that's new to me, but it is a different experience this week, regular season, and it's kind of a normal week for these guys. So it's been a cool experience at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you said it yourself. This is a business trip for you, and Squid Billy has been handling business, listening to the coach, talking to players, going out to a special event that we'll get to here in a little bit. So Squid Billy has been doing nothing but handling his business. I respect it, Squid Billy. We all respect it. So it's good to hear that everything's going well over there in Seattle. Hopefully we finish off, you finish off, I should say, this road trip and this business trip with an Atlanta Falcons win. And with that, let's get into our first topic today. Speaking of trying to finish things off with a win, do you think this Seattle Seahawks game for the Atlanta Falcons is a must win?
Personally, I don't believe in must wins unless it's playoff
right
football, playoffs football, or in baseball, or you know, you need this game to make the division, win the division, or something like that, or keep your playoff hopes alive, then yes, I believe it in those games. But on week three, I don't. That being said, Dylan, I believe it's very it's as close as you can get in the first 3 to 4 weeks of a season to be a must win.
Right.
You know, you're 0-2. You've played two teams who one's a defending Super Bowl champion. The other was picked by all the pundits to win the division. They're now 1-1. We've seen that they have a pretty good defense. They can hang with teams, and you're able to put points on them.
Right.
And that's nothing to be ashamed of. But the fact of the matter is, this is as winnable of a game coming into the season before anything was played. This was as winnable of a game as you had on the schedule at any point. And in the and especially in the first 4 or 5 weeks, Seattle looked really good their first week. But now we kind of, after 2 weeks, we kind of look at, is that Denver team they played really any good? Last week, they were just flat out embarrassed, basically, by the San Francisco 49ers, a team who, by the way, lost what they thought their starting quarterback was. So a weird game for them. But it's a game to me where if you don't win, there's bigger issues than we had the first 2 weeks. This is a game where all the little things you should be up that you haven't done, there's no reason why you can't do in this game. This team is no more talented than you. They don't execute better than you. Through 2 weeks, you've been a better team. You should absolutely go out there and win. Now, the problem is Seattle is probably looking at us the same way. Me and Dave Archer were talking about that. He goes, yeah, well, you know, Seattle's probably looking at it the same way, though. They're 1-1. We're 0-2. So they probably think this is a winnable game for them. So to me, this is a game that the 2021 version would win.
Right.
We're in 2022, and we've got some different parts. Personally, I think we got a better roster, Dylan. I know we had a better quarterback in 21 because that guy is a future Hall of Famer. Whether you think he's not the guy or never was the guy or not, facts are facts, and that's what he's going to see.
Yeah.
But to me, this is a winnable game. It's the kind of game that this coaching staff proved last year they know how to win. So is it must win? No, not to me. I want to get your take, obviously. To me, no. To me, what this game is this is a prove-it game.
Right.
If you truly are better than you were last year, if you truly are as close as we've heard players and coaches say after the first two losses, then this is a game you win. So in that standpoint, there's major issues to me, or not, let me rephrase it. There are bigger issues than we thought if they don't win this game.
Correct. I feel the exact same way. I am of the belief that you should win this game. This was a game, you touched on it. We always looked at the schedule, no matter what, and said, okay, week three, 2022, against the Seattle Seahawks, even though it's in Seattle, that'll make it a little tougher, but this is a game the Atlanta Falcons should win. You already, in the first 2 weeks, went up against two good teams, two, you could argue, playoff-caliber teams, definitely the Rams, the Saints, like you said, the pundits said this is a team that could win the division, so they're obviously a playoff contender in a lot of people's minds. So with that, you really should have beat the first playoff contender you played in the New Orleans Saints, and you were right there, had opportunities to win against the defending Super Bowl champions, who will also be playoff contenders again this year. So you've already showed you could hang with the best of the best in the NFL. I'm sorry, no shade, just truth. The Seattle Seahawks are not that good. They're not as good as the New Orleans Saints. They're not as good as the Los Angeles Rams. This is a team you should beat. I am of the opinion now, after seeing what I saw in week two, what the Seahawks did against the 49ers, I am of the opinion they were all juiced up at home, week one, opener. Russell Wilson came back. I think everybody on Seattle was just juiced up for that game. That obviously gave them extra momentum, and they rode on that momentum and ended up winning the game. I think that had a lot to do with their performance in week one, because week two we didn't see that same week one team. We didn't see that same week one Seattle Seahawks team that we saw in week two against 49ers. Completely different team. So I think we'll get more of that week two Seattle Seahawks than we will week one.
Well, it's also possible that the Denver team we saw, and we think is really not that good. They struggled again. You know, Russell Wilson doesn't look very good. Hackett's play calling and his decisions in game are very questionable. So maybe they're just not as good as we thought too, Dylan, right? Yeah. I mean, that's an opportunity. Maybe Seattle just played a team that is not near as good as what is expected to be at this point in the season.
Right. And then as you touched on too, so that's kind of the first thing. The second thing is we are better than we were last year. And the team we had last year still probably could beat this team going into Seattle. So if we truly are better, and if we truly are the team that showed, hey, we can compete with the best of the best in the NFL, this is a team we should beat. I don't care if it is on the road. We almost beat the Rams on the road. So this is a team you should not only compete with, but this is a team you should beat. And if Arthur Smith and all the players are truly, you know, talking about we're going to learn from this, we're going to grow from how the first two games ended, then you should be able to not only get out in front in this game, but finish this game as well. Because I think we all know the Falcons won't get blown out in this game. They're going to be competitive. It's going to be a competitive football game. But can you finish the game and actually get the win this time? That's where the prove it part comes into me. All right, can you show me you've learned from your mistakes in the first 2 weeks? And do you know how to finish now? Or can you finish against this team? I think that's where the prove it part comes into play. So not a must win. Everything is still in front of you, even if you lose this game. But now you're looking at, you know, you're moving on to week four. That's a tough matchup, you know. So then you're thinking about, oh, man, could we start 0-4? So this is just really a game you need to win, not a must win, but a lot of things to prove, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. Just keep thinking about it. I just keep hearing how close they are, and it's true. And then I've seen it. I think they're close, too.
Yeah.
I've said multiple times, like, I think the reason this team is losing games is because of the little things. And to me, this is a week where you got to go put all those little things together. You've got to learn from all your past mistakes. Go put the little things together. And honestly, I think if this team plays like they did in the second half against the Rams and the first three quarters against the Saints, you know, this is a double-digit win for the Falcons. Yeah. I think that's what they should be. Will they do it? I can't tell you. But to me, that's the way I feel. I feel that based off what I've seen for five quarters in eight this season, that tells me this team can win this game and easily. And that's what I expect. That's what I expect to see Sunday afternoon at 4:25 Eastern time in this game. I don't expect to leave unhappy and 0-3. And if we do, we're going to have a completely different conversation Monday morning. On Monday Night Football on Peachtree Football.
we're taking Troy news alert. We're taking Troy Aikman and Joe Buck's spot on Monday Night Football, and we're not going to talk about the game at all. We're just going to talk about the Falcons. But Nobo, let's go ahead and get into, you know, something that I think. From the first 2 weeks, I think we have been pleasantly surprised with some things. And I think this football team has shown us that, like you just got into, they have the potential and they realistically could be a double-digit win football team. And this was something I said in the very first episode that, well, I don't know, I wasn't real sure about. But after seeing their performance against the New Orleans Saints, after seeing their performance against the Los Angeles Rams, I believe now that, hey, hold up, wait a minute. This team is actually a lot better than I thought they were going to be. The young guys are panning out. We'll talk about them in just a second. The young guys are panning out like how we thought they were. The defense has really come along and, you know, adding in 100% of Dean Pease's scheme looks like it's paying off. The offense, the mobility of Marcus Mariota is helping out. Drake London has looked very good in the first 2 weeks. So with that, I want to ask you this. And hopefully I didn't steal any of yours. But what has been the biggest surprise to you so far through the first 2 weeks of this Atlanta Falcons football team? Has it been a player? Has it been a unit, whether it's offense or defense? What has been the biggest surprise to you so far?
Well, much like anything else you asked me, I can talk for 20 minutes by myself on this and just keep talking, and you just sit there and nod your head. And I wish if you did, and if you heard something I shouldn't say, you'd pop me on it. But honestly, I'm going to start with one of the guys you mentioned, Drake London.
Yes.
Drake London has absolutely surprised me. Not that I didn't – I'll be honest with you. I thought Chris Olave was the best receiver in the draft. I watched Chris Olave at Ohio State run just wide open because he was that much better than anybody else. I thought Chris Olave was better than Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
But this could be one of my great blunders in thinking that, because so far Drake London has looked phenomenal. He runs great routes. He's physical. He catches the ball away from his body. He runs. His run after the catch has been much better than I expected. I thought that was kind of a weakness of him. I thought he was more of a, just a high point in the ball kind of guy. You know, I thought he was kind of a possession receiver. I don't think I'm just completely wrong now on that. I have really enjoyed what he's done. I mean, this guy's already got 13 catches for 160 yards. He's clearly leading the team in targets and receptions. He has been. There was a chart that got put out yesterday, and I'd have to go pull it up because I should have been prepared, but I'm not, and I apologize. But he is in the top 1%, I think, of targeted receivers and production so far. With guys like Amon St. Brown, who's getting a lot of love right now because of fantasy football points, and because he's playing well. But, you know, it seems like you do well in fantasy, you just kind of take off. And Drake's only got the one touchdown. But I'm really blown away with how well he's played. And honestly, this receiving corps as a whole is kind of surprising a little bit. Kadarrell Hodge has played well so far.
I didn't think Kadarrell Hodge, man, just to be honest, I didn't think at first, and this shows how much I didn't know about Kadarrell Hodge, but I didn't think Kadarrell Hodge was going to make the team.
Well, going into camp, before camp started, I wouldn't disagree with you. I would say there's a lot of skeptics, and I was skeptical myself. But when camp started, I kept hearing more and more about him. Mm-hmm. I think we didn't see a lot of Drake in training camp once they started playing games. You know, the first week and a half, 2 weeks, but once they played that game, we didn't see as much of him because of the injury in the Lions game, and it brought up a lot of old feelings that a lot of people had about, oh, well, he's injury prone, and you know, he doesn't run great, all this kind of stuff. And he has just absolutely excelled. And so it's been really cool to see. That's been a very good, pleasant surprise for me. So, you know, I have other ones, but obviously I don't want to take the whole floor because maybe you got one that I don't want, that I might steal from you. So what has been your number one surprise so far in this young season?
No, Drake London was definitely on my list for sure. But, you know, that one was pretty easy. So I figured we probably both had that one. But just to piggyback off of Drake London real quick, I think, like you said, everything kind of got, you know, we kind of got the wind taken out of us when Drake London had that injury in the Lions game. Then we were like, oh, man, that first catch looks so promising, looks so good, but now he's hurt. You know, he's had an injury before. So I think that kind of made us forget, like, no, this dude is actually really good, and he showed that. And I was surprised for the fact that I didn't think Drake London would come around, but I'm surprised at how quickly he's gotten going coming off the injury. And I think that kind of shows, you know, Arthur Smith and everybody else wasn't lying when they said the injury's not that serious. And, you know, we all got kind of skeptical when we didn't see him in the other preseason games. Now we just showed, you know, they were just being extra careful, which you should with the 8th overall pick. But we all kind of got worried because it was like, well, if it wasn't so serious, why isn't he playing right now? Like, he should be on the field. He's a rookie. He needs to be getting reps. Now when he gets off to such a hot start, such a quick start, it's like, oh, well, I guess he was okay then. I guess it's true. We really had nothing to worry about. But we weren't going to figure that out until week one, so we had time to kind of lose our minds a little bit. So that was the biggest surprise for me, how far along Drake London is and how quick he started being productive when coming off of, you know, an injury, when, you know, maybe the injury wasn't as bad as everybody initially thought. So that, just to piggyback off that point. But another surprise to me really has been the defense as a whole. And I know you're saying the defense, but they gave up 27 points to New Orleans and 31 to Los Angeles. I am still surprised at how good this defense has been at getting takeaways. This has been a very opportune defense because, mind you, they got some turnovers in week one, got turnovers in week two, got four sacks in week one, which, you know, that was a quarter already of what they got in 2021 as a whole. So I've been surprised that, you know, maybe not when it comes to how many points the defense is giving up. I'm not necessarily happy or surprised with that, but I'm surprised at the way they've been able to get takeaways and get turnovers, because that was another thing we didn't really do well last year. You know, we talk about the sacks too, but we didn't get that many turnovers either. So we weren't running the turnover game, and they weren't putting our offense, you know, they weren't doing our offense any favors. I think now they're helping out our offense, and, you know, the offense itself has had a couple of miscues in the red zone. But still, I am surprised at how well the defense has been able to get turnovers, get sacks, and really been able to make impact plays on that side of the football.
And that's a really good point. I want to add to your point, and I'm not stealing your point. I'm adding something. No. This defense has created 4 turnovers already this year. That's tied for 6th in the league. The problem is the offense has turned it over 5 times. So that's why you're -1 right now, and you're technically you're down around 27th.
And just to add on that real quick, that's also a part of why the defense has been giving up the points they've been giving up. They're getting put in bad situations with the turnovers from the offense at some points.
That was the case to an extent, yeah. That was the case with the game in LA, some turnovers, and also going for it and turning the ball over on downs. Didn't help. I'll say this, talking about the defense, and I've been pleasantly surprised at times this defense. The thing though that's holding this defense back is the red zone efficiency. And it actually, to be fair with you, the thing that's holding this team back is red zone.
Yeah,
this offense is only 4 of 8 in the red zone, 50%. I don't think it's really getting talked a lot about because everyone wants to kill Mariota or talk about why Kyle Pitts is not being targeted more, even though he's not really necessarily the case. It's just that there's not been the production there, and I think people are – I know that he only had technically 3 targets in the game. He actually had 4. One of those created a 40-yard pass interference penalty, which for some reason doesn't count as a target in the NFL. But
dumb.
but the red zone efficiency on both sides of the ball is absolutely brutal. The Falcons are 19th offensively in red zone efficiency. Defensively, they're tied for 30th. They have given up 7 touchdowns in 9 possessions. So other teams are scoring touchdowns 87.5% of the time when they enter the red area against the Falcons.
Right.
That is not good. That is one of that I talk about that as a little thing. In reality, I feel like it's a big thing.
Yeah.
The defense has been good. They've created turnovers, but the bend but don't break kind of mentality is a little bit missing right now. Yes. They're bending and breaking when they get in that red area. They've got to clean that up. I'm actually a little bit disappointed and at times how good the defense has played with getting pressure. To your point, creating turnovers, yet still allowing a high percentage of touchdowns in the red area. That is a little bit surprising to me. If you'd have told me the defense had, I think, 5 sacks through 2 games and it created 4 turnovers, I would tell you that we would probably be at the minimum 1-1, and I would tell you we'd be better in the red area. We're just not. And by the way, one of those turnovers, if I'm not mistaken, are one of those 9 trips where they actually made a stop, which would be in 2 of the trips they made a stop down there, I believe was a turnover, which was just a good play by Casey Hayward, but a terrible throw by Matthew Stafford. So you kind of had a gimme there in some ways. Got to give Hayward credit for running the route better than the actual receiver did.
Right.
But still, you can't throw that ball. So that's kind of a surprise to me as well, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because part of that too is like usually they say defenses are, you know, they tighten up in the red area because there's less field to defend. And that hasn't been the case for the Atlanta Falcons. It's kind of been backwards. It's like the more field they've had to defend, the better off they've been. And when they get closer and closer, it kind of seems like the defense, you know, I don't know if they're getting tense or what it is right now, but the closer they get to the end zone, it seems like kind of I don't want to say worse, but for lack of a better term, the worse the defense performs. So it's kind of backwards right now. So that is something to look out for. That's something the Falcons definitely need to tighten up on. I want to go ahead and get into an event a special event that went on yesterday that you and the Atlanta Falcons were a part of. You guys went out to a military base, I believe it was. So, Bo, if you can, just talk to us a little bit about that, because I think that's important. We talked about, you know, long road trips and the team being able to bond over things like this. So kind of talk about what went on yesterday.
So I got lucky enough to be invited yesterday with the team to – this is, you know, their community relations team led by Chris Millman. Mm-hmm. And Amanda Dinkle, I hope I said Amanda's name right. And if I didn't, and she actually is for some reason watching this podcast, Amanda, I do apologize if I mispronounce your last name. But these guys do a phenomenal job. Chris came here from Jacksonville years ago. He I think his first year here was like 2007. This guy has came in and just completely took the community relations that this team has done right to a different level. And we as fans and as a community in Atlanta, you know, have him to think. But they did this a few years ago where there's a military base out here called it's called Joint Base Lewis McChord. It used to be base. It was I don't know which was which, but I believe the McChord part was Army and the Lewis was Air Force. But I could have had a flip flop. But they were an Air Force and military base very close together, but they were different bases, and Congress said, you know what, we're going to combine these. You guys got to combine and be a joint base. And they have, and it's, Dylan, it is one of the biggest, it is absolutely the biggest military base I've ever stepped foot on.
I saw yesterday on social media that you took a picture, I think it was next to a tank. That thing was, I mean, I know tanks are big, that thing was colossal. My question is, did they let you drive it?
No. Players got to ride in the back. Those weren't really they weren't necessarily I think they were called like striker units or something. So you kind of ride in them, and they're like big truck tank things. They do have guns and stuff. I almost got to ride in one. They were like, hey, we got one more spot. I walked back there, and indeed had used up all their spots. But I guess by the time I got there, I was looking forward to that. Got to stand next to an Apache helicopter.
Nice.
We got there. And you know, the players get there. They had some Seahawks. They had reached out to the Seahawks as well. They had some players. We took about 10 players. I think the Seahawks brought in 4 or 5, and then some alumni like Jermaine Kearse was one of the players.
Oh, nice!
Former players that showed up. And so we actually watched an enlistment oath. So, you know, some people that were joining the military, they took their oath. That was really cool. Players got to be a part of that and congratulate them. And then, you know, the players signed autographs for the guys that worked on the base. Both teams set up tables, and that was really cool.
Right.
And some of the guys, I tell you what, my guys, Avery Williams and Mike Ford. Avery Williams, obviously a running back, return guy, and Mike Ford is plays the defensive back, nickel, and special teams guy. Those guys, man, they were loving it. They were like kids in the candy store. They wanted.
Wasn't Mike Ford the
gun.
One that they put on the Falcons put him on our social media? And he was. Was it a machine gun he was firing? I'm not sure the type of weapon
that
it was.
But. Probably. I don't. I'm sure the Falcons put something. That was. I put a video of Mike Ford shooting like a. I think it was a 50 cal he had.
Okay.
And it was. Then they put blanks in it because this is a. We did all the other stuff where we looked at the helicopters and stuff. We team signed autographs, and then they loaded everybody up in those units, and we got on the bus. And we drove across the base, literally 25 minutes across this base to the Army side.
Uh-huh.
And they have a training area. So you go through different little tents they got set up where you shoot a grenade launcher. You throw grenades. You throw, you know, you cleaning guns. You're shooting your guns and the big 50 cals and you know, all that kind of stuff. They also had a first aid side where they kind of teach you in the field stuff. And it was something that really gets you ready for deployment. It was kind of funny because Odyssey's own Sports Radio 1990 Games on Mark Zeno and I were texting back and forth. And he goes, oh, I know it well. That's where I deployed out of. Because Mark obviously served in the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan and that kind of stuff. So he was deployed from Joint Base Lewis McChord, which is funny because they, in their spill, they said, you know, we get you ready for deployment here.
Yeah.
And So he indeed left out of there. And so I thought that was kind of, that was crazy. That
comes full circle.
Well, it was, and it was cool. And, you know, we give Zeno on the station and on our podcast at times a lot of, you know, we get after him because he's our friend and he's our coworker.
Right.
But it was really cool for me being in an area where a friend of mine and a colleague of mine had been years before he went and served for us in a war that against terror and at times that we're still fighting. Right. Whether you were for it or against it, not really the point for me. Right. The point for me is it was kind of, you know, our military is very important to me. I really support. I've got family that have joined, you know, been in branches of the military. I got, you know, some cousins that were Marines and that kind of stuff. So it was kind of cool for me, being a, you know, just being there and seeing that. But
if you had to take one part out of all of it, do you have a specific favorite part, or is just kind of the whole experience? I mean, obviously you love the whole experience, but is there one like favorite part of everything that you really, really enjoyed?
For me, I enjoy being out there where they train and seeing them shoot the guns and everything. But yeah, this is going to sound kind of corny, and it is, but I guess if that's how you look at things. But for me, it was seeing those guys who their day is so regimented every day.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's training and it's by the book, and just seeing them react to the players and seeing the players react to them. Like I said, Mike Ford and Avery Williams were just so excited to see and go through those things, and seeing guys like Chris Lindstrom and Lorenzo Carter. And I got to talk to Lindstrom briefly while we were out there.
Yeah.
And just seeing how it's different for them, and it's cool. And I just love – it's so weird to me – not weird, but it's so cool, I guess, is the word I really want to use, that see these guys kind of had mutual admiration for each other.
Yeah.
And you see the players look at our men and women of the military and see them in their element, and they're just in awe. You know, they're taken back. They right. just want to, as far as they just, the amount of respect they, you can tell that they have. And I love seeing that. And then vice versa, seeing men and women of our military who have served in wars overseas or getting ready to maybe be deployed overseas where we don't know what's, you know, anything could happen, and seeing right. how in awe they are of, you know, these gridiron players, mm-hmm. these guys that are just, they go out there and do their own, you know, less serious, I would say, and health right. risk in some ways, battles. And it was just right. cool to see them add mutual admiration that each side has for each other. That's really cool for me to see. And, I don't think it can be understated. Now I did love seeing them shoot these guns and seeing these guns up close and seeing some of the equipment they have. And honestly, like I said, I'm a guy who loves the military. I didn't serve, but it's cool for me to see, an inside look at that. So just being there, I just always love that. I used to go to air shows as a kid. And honestly, man, you know, Dobbins is a nice base. It's a reserve base, obviously. Dude, it's kind of a joint base as well now in a lot of ways. But just it, this place, just I was in awe of how big this base really was. Yeah. I mean, it's its own town inside of this base. Wow. Just amazing. Really cool. I'm really glad I got to be a part of it. And it was a cool thing for me to experience. And I would do it all over again. Long day though, but I would do it all over again. It's like an hour drive there and then an hour drive back. But in between, you're on the base, you're driving 30 minutes just across the base, basically,
right.
to get just to one get side. And we had to drive back so we could leave. So, but just crazy, man, just such a cool experience. And another thing I can check off that I've gotten to see, and that's a 50 cal shot right in front of me.
No, that is awesome. And it was beautiful, too, how you talked about the admiration the players had for, you know, our armed men and service women, and, you know, vice versa, because they both look at each other, you know, like heroes, because, you know, obviously our military, they're fans of football. I think most of them are fans of of football. And then, you know, obviously the not only football players, but everybody in America who doesn't serve should be a fan of what our military does and what our soldiers do, because they're putting their lives on the line. They're putting their lives at risk just to make sure we can live the life we live and have a free country. And, you know, just so many good things this nation brings. So obviously there should be a respect for our men and women that are serving out there. And it is cool to see, you know, just how the men and women that are serving look at football players as heroes, because you grow up watching them and fans and you admire what, you know, football players are capable, you know, on the field. So no, that mutual respect and mutual admiration that you're talking about, I think is a very beautiful thing. So no, that is great that you were able to go out there and witness that and, you know, see that interaction between the players and our soldiers. So, and also very cool whenever you get to see a 50 cal shot off. That's pretty awesome as well. Next time they got to get you on the tank or the striker though. Next time they got to get you on that. So we got to be able to cross that off your list next time.
I was close. I was real close. Just ran out of helmets. So it's okay. I was like, yes, you know, do your thing. I wanted to make sure the players got to experience all that.
You were probably having a good day, good hair day anyway, so you probably didn't want to put the helmet on, right?
I actually was having a decent hair day, so I did that. That thought did run. As you can see, I'm having a bad one today, but I didn't wear one time. I didn't wear a hat, so I had my hair. You know, I put some product in it, and I was like, oh no, my hair! I'm gonna die the rest of the day. But yeah, I was all for it. But yeah, because it's a great experience. I'm just so thankful to the John Dayton of the Falcons, Chris Millman. John sent the invite out, and then Millman and Amanda Dinkle for, allowing us to go to, and just such a cool thing to cover with my boys at Fox 5, Justin Felder and Blank Kumit, and D Led was there. So I got to hang out with D. So made sure D was good. But yeah, great day all in all. Really fun experience. And hopefully I can do something like that again soon.
Well, shout out to John, Amanda, Chris, and everybody involved for help putting that event together and making that happen. Those are the things that, you know, really, really make it all worthwhile. You know, getting to meet your heroes on both sides and, you know, just being able to spend that time together and, you know, having the guys out in the community be able to show their face and show, you know, there's more to life than obviously football. So at the end of the day, it is a game. It's a game we really, really care about, but it is just a game at the end of the day, and there are bigger things going on in this world. So shout out to everybody who made that event possible. And Squibbly, thank you for sharing your experience on here. It sounds like it was an amazing, amazing time. So hopefully you can do that again sooner rather than later. But to close out this edition of Peachtree Football Squid, we're going to go ahead and preview what we got coming up on Friday. And as you know, it's time to sink our teeth into the matchup. Keys to the game, matchups to watch, score predictions, all that is coming and more on Friday on Peachtree Football. So make sure you follow the podcast, download the podcast wherever you get your podcast. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, the Odyssey app as well. Squid Billy, any closing remarks, my friend?
No, guys, I got a few pictures up. If you wanted to see some pictures from yesterday on social and on my Twitter handle at SquidBilly929, and also at 929 The Game, posted quite a few pictures. Even there is some footage of Mike Ford shooting a what I believe is a 50 cal. I might be wrong on stuff. It was a long day, like I said. But get over there, get over those social media handles. Check out some picks from yesterday. Dial on. Let's break it down on Friday.
Let's do it. I'm ready to break it down on Friday, and we can't wait to break it down with you all. Thank you all for listening, and until we talk to you guys next time, peace. H-E-L, 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 H-E-L,